You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Jets. It is Tuesday, November 14th, 2017. Thank you for joining us today. I am John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy this show, please subscribe to it. Your options include iTunes and Spotify. And please leave the show a good iTunes review if you enjoy it as well. It helps us out. And while you're doing it, leave your Twitter handle to have a chance to win a subscription to Pro Football Focus with all their grades and stats and all the information that they provide. Well, the Jets are in their bye week now, and they look to recover from a difficult loss, 15-10 loss, week 10 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that dropped them to 4-6. And a number of stories out on Monday talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick's revenge. Fitzpatrick, of course, the former Jet, was the quarterback for the Bucs in that game. And you want to talk about just puzzling storyline. I mean, revenge for what? The guy made $12 million last year and was maybe the worst starting quarterback in football. What exactly is he getting revenge for? Getting a lot of money to be not very good? And I mean, the other thing was he was awful in that game. The Bucs didn't win because of Fitzpatrick. Just silliness. Anyway, but we are in the bye. We are in the bye. So I just wanted to go over a couple of stories that broke on Monday and a few things Todd Bowles mentioned. Just wanted to offer a few takes on that on today's show because, again, we are in the bye. We don't have a game to prepare for this weekend, so we'll be on through the week. We'll be on our regular schedule. Today we're just going to talk about a few stories that have popped up around the team. And the first is one I'm just going to address because we've been doing this long enough that I feel like I can anticipate some mailbag questions in advance for our Thursday show. So I'm just going to talk about this right now, and that's a couple reports today that Casey Rogers, the Jets defensive coordinator, is being considered for the head coaching job at the University of Tennessee. And Rogers played at Tennessee a couple decades ago, which is presumably why his name is being lumped into the mix here. So I'm sure people are going to ask about the likelihood of this in an upcoming mailbag, so why don't we just talk about it now? And I will never, ever say 100%. I'll never make a prediction with 100% certainty, but I'll tell you, I might live about 98% on this one. I think it would be very, very unlikely that Rodgers gets this job. One thing you have to understand is that this is around the time of year where sometimes big college football jobs open up, and frequently you'll hear pro assistant coaches mentioned as potential guys who could get the job. And there's a reason for that, is that if you're a pro assistant coach, it's good to have your name in the mix, even if you're not going to get the job. Because even if you're not getting the job, you know, other people who are hiring maybe somewhere down the line will remember, oh, well, that guy was in the mix for Tennessee. Could be a guy who should be on our radar. Whereas guys who are employed in college, they don't like their names being attached to jobs that are open, because if they don't get the job, then it'll be used against them in recruiting. They'll say, well, see, this guy tried to leave the school. He's not going to be around much longer. They'll tell that to recruits. You know, this guy's trying to get out. He tried to get that other job, but he couldn't get it, so he's stuck. He's just stuck in that school till he finds a new job. And I think there's a little element of this happening here. Pro assistants and their agents typically like to plant stories about how they're in the mix for jobs, even if it's a very unrealistic possibility. And I kind of get the sense that's what's happening with Rodgers. Now, again, I don't have any insider information on this, so I'm just kind of going off my experience in this matter. And I think, you know, one thing you find is that that's something that happens a lot. And I mean, I saw a couple reports. They're all from New York papers. Now, do you think New York papers have ties to the University of Tennessee, that they're getting this from the University of Tennessee Athletic Department? They probably got it from somebody connected with Rodgers to try and pump up his candidacy. Every report I've seen so far has indicated it's unclear whether Rodgers will get an interview for this job. That's what they all say so far. And come on, isn't that the whole point of being a candidate? Are you really a candidate unless an interview is confirmed? And you just look at Rodgers. I mean, if you're the University of Tennessee, what are you looking for in a coaching hire? You're looking for a guy with experience, a track record of success as a head coach, you know, a guy with experience running a team. You're looking for a guy who has a lot of ties to high school football in areas you have to recruit. Guys, you know, big network of coaches that he knows in areas he's got to recruit. You're looking for a guy who's going to excite your fan base. You're looking for a guy who's going to be able to excite boosters. You know, a lot of college football, big-time college football teams, they have big donors. So part of the job of being a head coach is kind of making the donors feel important, so they'll keep writing checks to your school. There's a lot of kind of politics involved in it, where you have to make the donors happy. So you want a guy who's kind of a schmoozer, guy who's going to be able to work the room. These are the things you look for in a coach: a guy who's good on the recruiting trail, a guy who has a good network of college coaches who he can bring in, who can help recruit, who can help develop talent. Because it's very different in the college game, where you have limited practice time with players. A lot of it comes down to recruiting, which is something you don't do in the NFL. And, I mean, no offense to Casey Rogers, he checks none of these boxes. And I'm not saying it's impossible. Sometimes you do see NFL guys drop down to college. But, I mean, this is just not one that really makes a whole lot of sense. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's just Rodgers probably putting his name out there more than anything, or Rodgers' agent or someone close to him. And I'm not knocking Casey Rogers. I'm not saying, you know, a lot of people don't like him, and I think a lot of the criticism he gets is unfair. What I'm saying is that if Casey Rogers wanted to be a college coach, he'd be an assistant in college right now, or he should be at least. He's on a track where he wants to grow into being an NFL head coach. You know, he hasn't bounced back and forth where either one's an option. Maybe, you know, he uses college, you know, works in college a little bit, uses it as a stepping stone to get back to the NFL. This guy has not worked in college in 15 years, so he really checks none of the boxes for Tennessee. It would not be a very exciting hire. He's not a guy who's a big name, so I just don't see that happening. I mean, there have been plenty of reports about it, and I got nothing against him. I just don't think he's not a guy who's on the career track of somebody who'd want to be a head coach in college. He's a guy who's trying to grow in the NFL. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with him putting his name in the mix for the Tennessee job. It's just probably not going to happen. It's probably more, if anything, I think it's a courtesy because he is an alum at Tennessee. But again, we haven't even heard that he's going to interview for this job. So that's where I think things stand. I'd be very surprised. Maybe he gets an interview. I can't see him being one of the top-tier candidates for that job, though. Todd Bowles also spoke to the press on Monday and just dropped a few nuggets. One is no surprise. Bowles kind of hinted that Jets are not considering a quarterback change. I get why the media asked it. You have to ask it, especially after a rough game for Josh McCown. And I'll tell you, I mean, the offensive line doesn't play better. Jets are going to be forced to make a quarterback change because McCown's not going to last if they keep letting him get hit like that. But Bowles indicated that McCown's going to remain the starter. He said that the question was at what point he would consider playing Christian Hackenberg or Bryce Petty. He said if something happens to Josh McCown, those two be ready to play, they'll play. And the follow-up question was if he meant an injury to McCown. Yes, and of course, Jets got to block better or else they may find themselves in this predicament. And I've said my piece on McCown. I'll say my piece on McCown in the future. But all you Petty fans out there, and I know so there are some of you who are listening who are Petty fans. I mean, you're going to be disappointed if you want the Jets to make a change. They're not going to do it. It's not really what I think any team would do at this point. Jets are still 4-6. They're still in the mix a little bit. They're about a game and a half out of the playoff race through 10 games. So as long as they're in the mix, they're not going to change quarterbacks, you know. McCown's been the quarterback. The team's had surprising success. I'm not sure how much of it's due to McCown, but you're not going to make that drastic of a change to the dynamic of the team at this point of the year, where the team is still hovering near 500, still somewhat in the mix for a playoff spot. You're not going to make a drastic change and mix up that dynamic. And part of it really is self-preservation. If Bowles makes a change, and I think, first of all, Bowles thinks McCown's the best quarterback on the team. That's why he's starting. That's the conclusion Bowles came to in training camp in the preseason. And, you know, Bowles is not going to put in a quarterback he thinks is inferior with the team still in the mix. Now, the team falls out of the playoff race, different story there. But, yeah, Bowles is not going to make that change. And, you know, if, say, he puts in Petty or Hackenberg and they implode and they play worse than McCown, then everybody's all over Bowles and, you know, we talk about how he's going to be, you know, he should be fired, he cost them the season. So, I mean, he's not going to make that change until he has to or until the Jets fall out of the playoff race, because right now, like it or not, you know, some people I know don't like it. I know it's a hot topic of debate among the fan base. The Jets are not going to give up yet. Their chances of making the playoffs are not very good, but they're not going to give in until they're officially eliminated. So that's, you know, that's where things stand on that front. Bowles indicated the team will be in on Tuesday, and then they'll be out the rest of the week. It is the bye week, and this is another thing I just wanted to address on this show, is because I see this happen all the time with teams where fans complain, well, why is the coach giving them a week off a bad loss? They should be back in there working. Coach doesn't really have much of a say in this. The collective bargaining agreement that passed 6 years or so ago mandates that coaches have to give their players 4 consecutive days off during the bye week. Now, they have a little discretion about when those 4 days come. You know, Bowles could have given them early week off and then have them practice a little later in the week, but you have to get a lot of time off during the bye. And this is a complaint I always see fans have about how the team should be working harder. They should be, the coach can't do it. It's just against the rules. So that's how it's going to be heading into the bye. Jets are going to have some time off, and so does every team. And Jets can, you know, heal up whatever, you know, guys who are hurt. They have guys who can study the playbook a little bit, which, you know, brings us into our next topic. And you know, Bowles talked a little bit about the cornerback situation. First of all, Maurice Claiborne left the game. He I think he was still hurt, from what I understand from the way Claiborne was talking. He suffered that injury against Atlanta. He tried to come back against Tampa Bay, and it wasn't working for him. It doesn't sound like he re-sustained. It sounded like he was kind of playing hurt, then he realized it wasn't working. So, you know, I guess you give him credit for trying to go out there and gut it out, and credit for not sticking out there when he realized he'd be a liability to the team. The corner the Jets traded for Rashad Robinson, Bowles indicated that he's got to learn the scheme. He said that as a defensive back, there are things you have to learn mentally. You can't just come in and play. There's a lot that goes with it, and with him just getting here, he has to be in the system for a little bit before he gets on the field. So the Jets are not going to be on the practice field, but at least we'll give Robinson a chance to kind of take a deep breath and, you know, study the playbook and learn some things. You know, there's nothing against him learning a little bit more about the scheme as he takes off, as he gets a week off for the bye. And I thought this was, I think it's kind of interesting the way the Jets are playing it, because they're, you know, they're a little banged up at the corner position, and, you know, there's a chance, I thought there was a chance you'd see Robinson play a little more. I think one of the things that, Bowles did not say this point blank, but I think one of the things that becomes obvious is when you have a guy who's new to the scheme, you can put him out there, but you're pretty much giving away that you're playing man-to-man, because you're pretty much just telling him, stick with this guy. So, you know, it kind of limits what you can do defensively as much as anything. You know, Bowles, I'm not sure Bowles was totally accurately said you can't just stick a guy out. You can, but it does limit the defense. And I think Bowles is a guy who likes to be multiple on defense. So this will give the Jets a chance to kind of, this bye will give the Jets, as much as anything, a chance to kind of bolster their corner core. It'll allow Claiborne to get healthy. It'll allow Robinson to learn the scheme a little bit, and maybe we'll have a different-looking cornerback group when the Jets come out of the bye in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening to our show today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to the show. Options include iTunes and Spotify. And please leave the show a good iTunes review. Hope you have a great Tuesday. We'll chat again on Wednesday.